Coming up today on the show, we're going to talk some Disney news, we're going to talk some virtual queues, and a food challenge that's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome everyone to episode 452 of Traveling with the Mouse. I'm your host this week. My name is Adam, and I am joined by John.
Well, I was first in line until the little hairball was born.
Scar.
One of my all-time favorite villains. Also because he uses the line, "I'm surrounded by idiots."
Jeremy Irons.
Yes.
Good voice. Spaceship Earth.
Jeremy Irons has a very appealing voice, we'll say.
He was your favorite Spaceship Earth narrator, right?
Yes.
It's hard to remember anything other than Judy Dench at this point, but...
Well, I mean, if you can just, like, the way his voice is, like, good for storytelling, I guess, is the way to put it. Like, he could read a novel and it would make it more enjoyable.
One of those
types. Like James Earl Jones, if he read a novel or something to you.
Or Eric Bra.
They actually had quite a few, I guess, British voices sounding. Well, actually, James Earl Jones isn't British. They did use quite a few British ones, I want to say, in Lion King, the original one, right? Jeremy Irons is Irish.
Mm-hmm.
He is overall.
And of course,
Rowan Atkinson.
Right. Mr. Bean.
Was, oh dang, what can I think of his name?
Zazu.
Zazu, that's it. Zazu.
Yeah.
I bring that up partially because we actually watched it. The girls watched the original Lion King for the first time just the other day.
What do they think?
I think they've enjoyed it. Yeah, they really did.
Yeah. Speaking of Disney movies, I know we're already on a rabbit trail, but...
That's fine.
My oldest son was, I thought, finally old enough to watch Temple of Doom.
I'm guessing it didn't go well.
No, actually, he liked it.
Oh, okay.
He really liked Short Round. He wanted to watch Crystal Skull, because other than Dial of Destiny... Crystal Skull's the one he hadn't seen yet. And
see,
he liked Crystal Skull better overall than Temple of Doom.
Okay, that's just sad.
I knew you were going to say that. But honestly, I'm having like a bit of a prequel thing happen where the Star Wars prequels actually are better with age, especially after watching the Disney ones. So after watching Dial of Destiny, I kind of like Crystal Skull a little better now.
No, Crystal Skull is still the worst one.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think it's worse than Dial of Destiny.
No, I thought Dial of Destiny was good.
Ish. You're one of a few, because I have no desire to watch Dial of Destiny again.
Speaking of, this is not Disney related, but speaking of movies related to 80s movies.
What?
For the first time, I watched Ghostbusters Afterlife the other night, and I thought it was really good. So.
Yeah, okay, that's the new one?
Well, they actually have another one that's out this year, Frozen Empire.
Right. But that was the newest so far.
Yeah, that was the basically like another sequel, I guess, several years later.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They open it up with someone that's supposed to be Egon, and then they basically kill Egon off because, well, obviously, Harold Ramis is no longer with us, so.
Right.
Uh-huh. So they kind of incorporated his death into the story, so to speak.
Yeah.
It was complete with CGI ghost Egon.
Oh.
But it was right. It was quite good, I thought.
Okay.
A lot of people might say it was a little too heavy on the throwbacks to the original movie, but I thought it worked well with the way they did it. So.
All right.
What seems to be lately our random movie review reviews.
Yeah.
Like mini movie review that we do on the show without actually advertising it.
Yeah. Well, here's a tie-in.
What's a tie-in?
A news story.
Okay.
No, not... Since we're talking about movies. So, we were watching Crystal Skull, and they were on, one of those pyramid looking, well, I guess it was a pyramid.
Pyramid looking pyramid.
Yeah. They were on a pyramid, and they were running down the steps, at one point, and my son was like, hey, that's the concept art for the new, Animal Kingdom, like the Indiana Jones area. Are they like making it Crystal Skull? And when you look at the concept art, it's not. It has a similarity. So I'm like, are they making dinosaur into a crystal skull themed.
Have they not asked to be crapped on enough?
Okay, so minus the weird chase scene and the refrigerator thing. But here's the other thing. I was arguing the same argument with Jason because he didn't. I was defending Crystal Skull to some degree.
You'll defend Crystal Skull now, but you'll say Dial of Destiny is crap.
Yeah, so far, yeah.
Okay.
Dial of Destiny was like in 45 minutes too long, for one. And, like, everybody dies. Like, it just people get murdered right in front of Indy all day. Like, the whole movie is, like, not very...
So anyway. It's Temple.
Right. But speaking of Temple of Doom, like, we're willing to have no problem with Indiana Jones drinking blood and turning into, like, a zombie.
Okay.
For a while. But we can't go there with him surviving in a refrigerator or aliens... exist thing, even though
it's not the same.
Oh, I'm just saying, it's like this the weird supernatural stuff like
there,
that happens.
There were
like,
there were always unbelievable things happening in Indiana Jones, but it made sense in Indiana Jones' world. The aliens,
sure. Well, the aliens fit the motif that George Lucas was going for, which was the 50s sci-fi type thing.
It didn't fit anything they did in any of the previous movies because they were all revolving around religious artifacts of some kind or another. So,
right. Sure. But I think because it was set in the 50s that it made sense to go with the alien thing. Just
with aliens because they liked aliens in the 50s.
Yeah. I mean, the whole, you know, Roswell and all.
Horizons had the 50s version of the future, apparently.
Yeah.
If you remember. The one doing the hula hoop or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
There you have it. I was trying to tie this into a news story, but I knew.
Okay.
I didn't finish that. Imagineering receives state approval for Animal Kingdom trailer complex as Tropical America's Dinoland USA overhaul moves forward. So they've gotten some state approval now, which.
Let's say trailer complex. Are they putting a trailer park in Animal Kingdom? I mean,
well, in the back area. Basically, temporary, you know, construction site, you know, how they put trailers and stuff up for...
I got you. I knew what you meant. That was, you know.
And backstage parking and all that for construction vehicles. So this is happening soon. So we're going to have, hopefully, I assume, details at D23 about an updated concept art. Because D23 is, what, 2-3 months away? What is it, 2 months away now? Just 2.5 months away? Mid-August?
I thought based on that, when you said trailer, I thought they were going to put the trailer park in there to complete the go with the fair.
The Dino Land.
Yeah.
They're going to complete the story of it got taken over and turned into a trailer park for a while, and then it was bought out, and then...
It's something like that. I don't know. But no, that does seem like it has some promise that something will be happening in Dino Land USA.
Yeah. No, it's definitely happening, and soon. So get your last rides on Dinosaur and Triceratops Spin.
Dinosaur has unfortunately already been left behind.
Yeah.
It's about to be extinct, it practically is anyway. I mean, the dinosaurs in there are pretty much, they're in rough shape.
So they should change the name back to Countdown to Extinction.
They really should, because there's a Countdown to its Extinction currently.
Yeah, because it's... probably happening within the year for sure.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it lasting.
I'm at the point where I liked what Dinosaur used to be. You know what I mean? Because even the little fixes they've done here and there just doesn't make it the same. It's just not the same.
It
might as well. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they might as well go ahead and change it because it's just, I don't know, it's just dying a slow death right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
So... we got a reopening date for Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yes.
July 27th at Hollywood Studios.
You know, it's funny, I saw an article from a site that I'm not really going to mention, but it's been in recent years particularly known for its outrageous clickbait headlines. I saw one. I don't even give them the time of day anymore. I don't even give them the pleasure of getting that however many cents they get off the click. No matter how much I sometimes want to. But the headline was something to do with Aerosmith not going to be in it anymore or something like that. And I feel like it was just a grabber because I feel like if that were really going to be the case, I would have said something already. You know? Yeah,
that's speculation. Because I think if you go in the courtyard, they haven't taken a sign down or anything that says Aerosmith on it. So there's no indication that that's happening.
It's really weird, though, because, I mean, the ride's been there 25 years this year. Mm-hmm. This July, as a matter of fact.
I guess that's why they're trying to get it open sometime in July.
Maybe, but I mean, they've been 25 years with Aerosmith being featured as well. I mean, with no changes. So it's pretty long, actually.
Yeah, that is a long time. So it was closed last year from February to May, and then this year, January something, forgot the date, to what is going to be July 27th.
Yeah.
Assuming that is actually what it's going to end up being.
Well, the previous ones were for necessary updates, right? Like the track and the ride system and all this other good stuff.
Yeah. Right. I think so. I think the rumor was this one had to do with the launch system.
Possibly. So, I'm sure it needs to be updated. It's been 25 years.
Yeah.
If it hasn't, I'm sure it's been touched some over the years, but you know what I mean? It's been there originally that long.
Yeah. And I've also heard that last year's refurb was done on the cheap and
didn't quite finish everything.
Didn't do a good job with it. So they had to basically redo it,
do it right
this time. But who knows if those rumors are true. But
it is kind of odd that it's gone down as much as it has with no significant change that appears, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's been down.
I should say no significant change to the guest experience. That's the way I should put it.
Obviously, exactly. No
significant change.
Visible
difference,
yeah. And let's talk about Country Bear Jamboree because we got our first, Country Bear Musical Jamboree.
Okay.
Because we got our first look at the new show. It really wasn't much.
Just a teaser.
Right.
It's a teaser, really.
It was Bunny, Bubbles, and Beulah, essentially, were the only characters I remember seeing in that video.
Yeah, and it was really it was kind of a video about the costuming, rather than
they were more doing. So than anything, yeah.
It's kind of like a peek behind the curtain more than anything else.
Right. So instead of bonnets, they're basically rhinestone cowgirls now.
I suppose. Is that what they're going to sing? So they're going to make their version.
Rhinestone cowgirl.
Right.
Maybe.
But I mean, they took some real songs like they used to, and then they would change the word.
Right.
To make them bearish.
Right. It could be. But I couldn't tell if the animatronics looked super updated, though, either. I was trying to see, did they look like brand new?
It's probably hard to tell because they've probably already done a little bit of updating with some, you know, made them a little more fluid over the years at times. I do know that the last day of operation, they had at least one, stage, we'll say, that must have lost power or something because both the Henry and the Liverlips animatronic did nothing. Like, it just stood there. So
yeah, the last performance, they basically just died, whatever you want to call it.
Well, it seemed like it had to do with that mechanism for that, because it didn't matter which animatronic, it's like that stage lost power, basically, because both, no matter which side they flipped to, it didn't work.
Whether it was Liverlips or Henry.
Yeah.
And couldn't get it back up either.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So that doesn't tell us a whole lot about the show, but, you know.
Supposed to be before the summer's out, right? They haven't given a date to that.
Yeah. Still no official date on that, but they're definitely doing stuff.
What is the true last day of summer? That's a good question for Disney.
Nice.
What do they consider summer? Like, they're calling Tiana's was summer, and it was 7 days after the actual first day of summer.
Yeah.
Right? It was a week after.
I mean,
the official first day of summer.
Memorial Day is basically summer, and then...
Well, that's when most places, you know, especially the places that normally have cooler weather, they usually go from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Yeah.
Is how they operate for summer, so...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Let's see. There was a couple other stories I saw were interesting. Okay, I know this one you you sent us was Iger's statement about the future of Disney Parks as IP, not original stories. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Just doubling down.
Here's the quote. I looked at the return on investment capital in our parks and resorts unit over, you know, my tenure, really, and it was extraordinary. I asked how much we were planning to invest over the next decade, and I realized that if we believe we're going to basically turn things around from a free cash flow generation perspective, which we've done and we're doing, then we have an opportunity to invest. Why not invest in the business that has the highest returns? Well, that's at least a positive. Where's the part where he says...
What has the highest returns?
If you analyze carefully how we achieve those returns on investment in the parks, it was all about the IP. So for quite a long time, new attractions and lands and parks were based on essentially either very old IP or no IP. You know, just an attraction. I assume he's talking things like Animal Kingdom.
Okay, first of all,
there,
you can't say that it's related to IP because you don't have anything to compare it to. You didn't put anything else up against it that was non-IP, so you really have nothing to compare it to.
Right, exactly. Because it says, starting really with Cars Land and Toy Story a few others, I can't remember all the specifics. We decided that almost all our investment in the parks in terms of attractions and lands would be using that IP. And it's very, very clear what that delivered.
The best thing about Cars Land is the attention to detail that whoever was responsible did. It was very well done. Then you have a ride like Radiator Springs Racers, which is kind of like taking Test Track to the next step, right?
Yeah.
Where it was side by side. And, you know, it was most of that has to do with technology more so than the fact that they use cars. I mean, yeah. It was neat to see cars, especially the animatronics that they did with the cars in there. All good.
Impressive.
But I don't think that, you know, I think he's really selling the technology short as that being the, you know, the driving force. And I think there is something to be said from telling an original story with a theme park, right? I mean, it worked for a number of years, and I don't see why they can't do it again. At least give it a shot. I challenge you. Give me one attraction that you just come up with on your own. Say this is going to open and see how well that does. You'll probably find out that it does just as well as the other stuff you're talking about. So, yeah.
I think the only thing they might do that's not IP, hopefully, is updating Spaceship Earth and Test Track. Wouldn't have IP in there. Doesn't seem like it.
Are you going to tell me something overseas like Mystic Manor is a failure?
No, definitely not.
No, it's not. Is that an IP? Absolutely not. So
no.
Anyway, I'm sorry. What was the last thing you said?
I was saying like Test Track doesn't look like the update to Test Track is going to be IP related,
except for the throwbacks to World of Motion that we know of.
Yeah, well, that's very old IP, right? That he said.
It is their intellectual property. I don't think anyone else owns World of Motion.
I would be shocked if Spaceship Earth incorporated IP somehow. I don't see how that would work.
I would hope not.
Yeah, that would make it terrible if that happened. So
Epcot has too much as it is. It's not what it was. No, never mind. I'm not going to go there anymore.
That'd be a whole show there.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it should be a mixture of both, because definitely some of the IP stuff they've done is great, but I don't know that that's all you should do.
Yeah.
I see you wearing Epcot tonight.
Classic.
Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, this new land, the South America, or Central Americas, what was it? What are they calling it? The land at Animal Kingdom that we were just talking about.
So, whatever excuse they can come up with to fit in Encanto and make it delightfully fit.
And then Indiana Jones as well, somehow.
Which, you know, he visits Central America a lot in his
films. Which
Right.
Crystal Skull, I mean, might. That would be weird that that would be one they would pick, but I guess it, anything can happen.
I'm going back now, but he's talking about doubling down, I guess, on IP, right?
Yeah.
What latest IP was so successful that you would say that that's what we need to go with? Obviously, Encanto.
Yeah, Encanto was big.
But what else? Elemental, there could be an argument made for Elemental.
Yeah. I guess we'll see Inside Out 2 if it's a big hit.
There. Well, I could see about that one. I don't really know how well it's doing, but I enjoyed Wish way more than I originally thought I would.
Mm.
So it was one of those that just didn't garner a lot of hype.
If Avatar sequels, I mean, it still did really well, the second one, so maybe the next five or whatever, however many movie will. When's the next one coming out? Yeah. Supposed to be, right?
Yeah. It's going to take them a long time to do five movies with Avatar if it's based on the how long it's taking them to do this first and the next and the following one, apparently.
Yeah, totally. But, I mean, they've already talked about updating Flight of Passage to a newer film, but
right,
they need more than two rides in that land, to be honest.
I'm probably in the minority, but in some ways I actually preferred The Way of Water to the original. Did you ever watch The Way of Water?
The movie. No, I never watched it. I was like, Journey of Water?
Way of Water is the sequel to
Avatar. Yes, that's right. I never watched it. Mm-mm. Do you like it better than the first?
I think so.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't love either of them. I'm not the first to be a major
fan.
Go-to for a critique on the franchise, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, when I have 4 hours to spare, I will watch a bit.
I don't think the second one was as long. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought it was like 3 hours long. No,
maybe it is.
Anyway.
I know I fell asleep during the original one. I was at your house at the time. That was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that one, yeah, it was fine. Speaking of Inside Out 2, sneak peek is coming at the Hollywood Studios One Man's Dream Theater.
Okay. I liked the original, so I'm hoping I like the sequel.
I think it'll be good. I haven't watched... Have you watched the Dreams That Soar show yet, because it just debuted as we're recording this.
I meant to give that a look on video at least. Obviously I'm not there.
I've seen some of it. It's massive compared to...
I was gonna say, as we're speaking, we have someone we know who is there, but I doubt they've gone to see it. So
yeah, I'm thinking about trying to find time to go see this, but it looks like Peter Pan is featured, Up is featured,
Coco,
Star Wars is featured, huh?
I said anything that flies.
Basically, yeah. Baymax is in it for Big Hero 6, of course. Toy Story, Mary Poppins, yeah, basically anything that flies.
You're right.
I see Mando and
anything
Grogu.
Disney IP related that flies.
Ooh, the Rocketeer is in there. I see the Rocketeer and Genie.
The Rock-a-who?
Yeah, exactly. Underrated film.
That was good back in the day.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to see if I can go check this out. It looks pretty neat.
I mean, it has a Zeppelin in it. I mean, come on.
Right. It's not that long. I mean, it's, I think, about 8 minutes long, if I remember right, the show. Something like that. So it's not super long.
It, sure.
Right. Yeah. I think the one at Disney in Paris is not that long either. 10 minutes or less. So it says it's approximately 10 minutes. So, okay. So it's a little longer than I thought. But anywho.
No, this is kind of a little bit unlike Disney to kind of be late to the drone game, I guess. Like, there were other people that did it first, were they not? So.
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, Disney in Paris has had their show for a while. So, I don't know. Maybe it's
the tradition lately is like they do stuff overseas first and then they do it domestically. Like it used to be the other way around.
Right. How much have you looked at Fantasy Springs, Tokyo?
Let's see. I did watch the Frozen ride there.
Yeah. Yeah, Tokyo Fantasy Springs, they have the Tinkerbell attraction, the
Tangled,
Frozen, and Peter Pan? That's separate
you
from...
You said Tinkerbell. Is it Peter Pan?
I think it's separate.
Okay. I guess I haven't given that enough attention yet, apparently.
Yeah, they all look really good. They're not like e-tickets, but they're good. I mean, they're good, like, dark rides that I wish we had here.
I guess in a way we have the, as far as the dark rides go, for the most part, we have the matured arcs in a way.
Yeah.
Think about it. Because there's got a lot of dark rides that people would hate to see go, so they just kind of, like, keep them.
Right. I would really not hate it if they overhauled Pirates at Magic Kingdom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's not the original one, obviously, so.
Right. It's such a abbreviated version of it. I would like to see a better, because I think it's probably the weakest one.
It might be.
Anyway.
At least it's there.
That's true. So we were talking earlier about virtual queues, so I want to mention that. Again.
There's a story about that.
Go ahead and talk about it.
You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, bring it up.
Well, I mean, it first came to my attention because of the blockout dates, actually, the cast member admission blockout dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
For July, Magic Kingdom, right? July.
So, we know that June 28th is Tiana's Bayou Adventure. By the way, there was something else I thought about. Remember when we did that speculation with that license plate? Right?
Yeah.
You remember that?
Right. I do.
Well, one of the numbers was 28. It just wasn't. It was 528, not 628. So
that is maybe there's
somewhat interesting. Maybe there was something to that after all, but just don't know what. But anyway. Yeah. They were basically applying logic of the cast member blockout calendar to kind of predict when they think the virtual queue might go away.
Thinking that
it might be early August, say August 4th, based on this, perhaps, that the virtual queue will end for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And it got us to talking about, like, how do they determine which ones keep the virtual queue? When do they go away? There doesn't seem to be any consistency as to the
especially Guardians being
right.
two years now.
Yep, it's 2 years now for Guardians, and it's been on virtual queue the entire time.
Yes.
By far the longest of any attraction that's had it. And we've always used the logic of the queuing over there at Guardians is not very good, and that they're maybe looking to improve that before they do such a thing.
Yeah. Well, I will say this really quickly about that extended queue. It's not covered, so they need to, it would need to be covered if they're going to do this. If they think they have to have it, but.
Well, Tron's is outdoors.
Yeah, but it's mostly covered.
Yeah.
Unless you go all the way down the ramp towards Space Mountain gift shop area, or the Tron/Space Mountain gift shop.
Well, they have that area up there right before you walk in that does the whole classic, like, back and forth.
And it's partially covered, I would say, because you could still get rained on, but not like directly.
But so far, that one still has a virtual queue, and it's been a year now, right?
Yeah.
For it.
And also has the indoor section that's back and forth a lot, and it's not great.
A little tight at the very first before you look at that, before you look at the reveal.
At least Guardians isn't the worst ever there. But Guardians queue, I think, is better than Tron's queue for sure.
I don't think it's as long, though.
I think it's about the same.
Together, when you put it all together.
If you count that outdoor part, Tron's might be slightly longer. But for the most part, I think Guardians is not that short. I mean, it's decent inside. I mean,
Another one that when it needs it, I guess, that zigzags outside mostly is Remy's does, but it only had virtual queue. We were just talking about this earlier for 3 months.
Right. That was so that short. Was and the ride broke down a lot in the beginning. It still does, but
I think some of it might have to do with the comparison being the popularity. Like, it's still popular. Don't get me wrong. It still has a little bit of a longer line, but I don't think they saw virtual queue like being sucked up as quickly as, say, they did with Rise or...
Yeah.
Or with Guardians, even.
Right. It can't be a reliability thing because Rise probably would still be on... virtual queue.
Right, that's the other thing. Can't be the reliability part because Rise is like consistently most unreliable ride.
Yeah.
In all of Walt Disney World, if not the entire of the world.
Right. What was the stat you said? It broke down like 525 times in 365 days or something.
There was a stat. It was basically saying the ride that broke down the most in 2022. That was the stat we had. We didn't have a 2023. Uh-huh. I guess at this point in time, but it closed over 580 times over the course of 302 days.
Jeez.
Almost closed down as many times as it was days as it had, you know, almost twice as many times as it had days.
Yeah.
That we're talking about. So,
I mean, there were times where you knew it would break down mid morning and that was like a good hour. 45 minutes to an hour, and then sometime in the afternoon it would go down again. You just knew, like, it seemed like it was consistently
some point
breaking down at some point. Like, so if you were going to rope drop it, get in early or else it's going to break down while you're in line, and you know, after that it's going to break down again at some point.
I could be wrong, but I don't think I've ever had it break down while waiting for it.
Oh, I have.
I don't think I have so far.
I think it was still...
odds are it'll happen at some point, but...
I was trying to think, was I in the Lightning Lane queue when it broke down once? I don't think so. I think it was still prior... it was virtual queue.
So anyway, going back to this right quick. So if that's the case, it opens to the 28th. If that's the case, that it's sometime early August. That's not
that would be the shortest.
That'd be the shortest one ever, if that's the case.
But Disney even said in that press release that in the initial days, it didn't say like months. It just said weeks. It said days. The initial days.
See, so. there's a couple of things here in which Tiana's has been a bit of an anomaly anyway. It's been a long time since they did a retheme.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Right. Frozen. Was Frozen the last one?
Yes, that's what we believe was the last one anyway. That's the earliest one we could think of.
Yeah.
And we were even speculating as to whether or not Tiana's would even have a preview just because of the fact that Frozen did not have it did not have a passholder preview, right? So we were speculating as to whether or not Tiana's would even have one. And then, of course, they ended up announcing it, but it was only like 1 week's worth, so it was kind of like the shortest one we've seen out of having them, is it not? So,
yeah.
You had a very small window for a preview. So, but anyway, the other thing, too, with this is the queuing options for Splash. I mean, it was very plentiful. It had a very long queue, so I don't think that will ever be a problem with Tiana's. The ride system is relatively reliable, and that's not changing, so I don't think they're going to have an issue there.
Yeah. I can't recall Splash breaking down a ton.
Right. The only thing that broke down in Splash a ton was...
the animatronics.
The animatronic, yeah. The Brer Rabbit.
Yeah. There were a few others, I think, originally. Very talented.
Right. I remember looking back at one of the early videos we did of... Splash, and that section right there where Brer Bear is hung up in the tree, right? And he's on the rope.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more, like, it's a lot busier right there. Like, he's bouncing up and down a lot faster, or you know what I mean? And Brer Fox is actually way more animated than he became. Like, they all became a little slower and stiffer over the years, it seems. Yeah. So,
right. Probably the build up. I wonder if the moisture and all that buildup.
Could be.
Happens over time. Carbon buildup. I don't know.
Yeah, if you go back and look at one of the early videos that's out there of that attraction compared to what it was at the end, like how fluid they were in the early days compared to what they ended up. Like, it's just hard to notice because it's like a slow decay over time, so it becomes hard to notice when you're going on it. But if you start comparing it back to the early days of it, you're like, wow, this was...
Their joints are frozen.
Yeah. It's like they're moving slow compared to what they once did. So, yeah.
So, virtual queue, we don't think it'll be long. It makes sense that it wouldn't be too long.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a very good possibility it may not last the entire summer.
Yeah, probably not. But I guess it also depends on attendance. If the crowds are fairly low in late July, early August.
It's quite possible that they may have played it by ear when it came to Remy's, for instance. Like, it was starting the 50th. They utilized it during the holidays, and then they pretty much took it away after the marathon weekend in January. So they basically only had it there to help them get through the busy season before they decided to take it away. So kind of makes you wonder.
Yeah.
But Rise, if you talk about overall number of days that it was on, because there was a time period there that all of Disney World was closed, it was less than a year that it was actually in use, was it not?
Because it's hard to remember that just because of COVID and the closure.
Well,
and all
no,
that.
Well, maybe I'm wrong because, yeah, it was operating. Okay, so it was more than a year, but it was definitely not 2 years like Guardians.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing because, it like I said earlier, it can't be about the number of boarding groups because I'm thinking most people who have been to Disney ride Guardians. Like, it's not hard to get virtual queue and get in. Or, of course, you can buy the Lightning Lane, too. So it's like, I don't think it's hard to get. I don't think a lot of people are missing out on Guardians. So there's another reason. It's got to be...
I don't think any of the virtual queues have been as hard to get as Rise initially was.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the hardest one.
And I think Rise was the reason that they started splitting it into two opportunities, like 7 a.m. and 1 p.m.
Did they not do that from the get-go?
No. It was initially 7 a.m. and that's it. I remember that.
Hmm. Okay.
And sometime in 21,
No, okay, that sounds vaguely familiar. Maybe was it at the beginning because of the reliability that particular day, maybe, of Rise, they decided they might could fit a few more boarding groups in, and so they opened an afternoon queue, maybe, at that point? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah, maybe that was the main reason. So for Guardians, for example, I was looking at the stats. The initial 7 a.m. boarding group is 2 to 3 seconds before the virtual queue is full. But the afternoon, it says the length of the boarding group drop is typically 1 to 5 minutes on a busy day. On a below average day, it could be up to an hour or more.
What? Which is still available?
It's still available after 1 p.m.
Huh.
Yeah. But the fact that you have 1 to 5 minutes to get in a virtual queue spot at 1 p.m. means that it's not hard to get.
I wish they would drop the whole you have to be in the park, though, for 1 p.m.
Yeah, and that's probably the main reason why it's easier to get that one.
Yeah.
That's possibly.
But if I were just sitting in the hotel, yeah, that's probably it. You're right. If I were just sitting in the hotel or something like that and I wanted to do the afternoon, I would totally wait till 1.
Yeah. Although now I'm trying to think, do you have to be anymore?
I thought it was always a rule for any of them.
I thought it was initially, but now... Yeah,
questioning everything.
Yes, because everything changes so quickly sometimes.
Yeah.
There was another interesting stat I was looking at. It was the average time of when, and this is recent, this is like the last month, the average time of when your boarding group number is called. So if you're in the top 20, by 8:30 a.m., your group is usually called.
I was seeing something in a thread not too long ago about, I think someone actually asked the question, like they have group 46 and they were trying to gather about what time
right
your group would be called. Just about everybody said around lunchtime.
Yeah, according to this, anything in the 40s would be between 11 and 11:30 typically is the average, but to get
for group 46
somewhere in the 40s to 50, yeah.
Okay.
And then if you had group 100, it's typically, for Guardians anyway, around 3:30 to 4 p.m. Group 150 is somewhere around 8, 8:30 p.m. The most boarding groups ever called in a day for Guardians was 197, and the lowest was 154, so that's not bad. That's a lot of groups per day, so...
Maybe the reason why the virtual queue seemed to be a little easier to get is because people are purposefully trying to get a later boarding group, so they're kind of like being a little hesitant, but they don't want to be too hesitant because they're afraid they might miss it entirely.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like trying to find that sweet spot of hesitancy, so to speak. It's like, I want to purposely get group 100.
I know people do that with Tron, particularly because Magic Kingdom is the hardest to get to early. And so if you get an early group, and initially they were turning people away if you showed up late. But now I think it's more lenient than it was. You have at least probably an hour after your expiration, maybe longer now. I think they're not as strict. But I was looking at Tron's, and it's pretty similar to Guardians. So if you get, you know, group 1 through 20, you're going to be called right away before 8:30 a.m. most days. Again, the hours of the park vary, so the average can be skewed a little bit. But 8:30 a.m. is usually between 8:30 and 9 if your group's 1 through 20. If your group 40 to 50, it's going to be 11:30 to noon. Group 75 would be like 2 to 2:30. Group 100 would be 4 to 4:30 p.m. and so on. Tron and Guardians are actually very similar in their, the average is about 181 groups a day for Tron, where it's 178 for Guardians. I mean, they're pretty similar. I don't know too many people who haven't gotten on Tron either.
Right.
So it's like, it's not like Rise was, where you just... Even if you got a boarding group, you weren't guaranteed to get on. And I guess now it's still the case. If you're like group 180, you may not get in. But
yeah,
it's not hard to get a group. So I don't know.
Isn't this going to be the first time when Tiana's open? Isn't this going to be the first time that there's been two virtual queues in the same park? I think it is. Simultaneously, that is.
Yeah, because Guardians wasn't open when Ratatouille was first... had it, so
right, and it closed before, so
right, so I guess so. Yeah, I don't think there was another.
This could be experimental in itself.
Yeah, you're gonna have to choose which virtual queue you're gonna go for,
I guess.
So I guess that means Tron would probably be available longer. Speaking of, let me look at that stat real quick for Tron.
While you're looking for that, you made me think of something when you said about the hardest to get to when you're talking about Magic Kingdom.
Yeah,
I just so happened to come across a vlog because I was looking at ones in which people were using the DJI 3 Pocket camera, just because I was looking for specific footage used in Disney for that. But came across this couple, and they made the comment about the which was faster between the monorail and the ferry boat.
Yes.
And I thought it was interesting because I guess they had timed this somehow, but he said basically if you walk up, and it's about to leave, right? Like if you hit it perfect, the monorail is faster.
Oh, okay.
Either one. Like if you hit both, like if you're hitting on that scenario, the monorail's faster. But he says if you're just talking about like your average, like just walking up, depending on what you're gonna have to wait, they're about the same. That's what he said. So
express monorail?
Yes. You wouldn't think so. He said the monorail's faster if you're just jumping on it at the same time.
I mean, if it's really crowded, more people will fit on the ferry boat at one time than the monorail, but you'd have to wait on three or four monorails maybe if you were in the back of a big line, but
I don't know.
I can't imagine the monorail being slower. overalls.
Well, like he said if you're jumping, that scenario, yeah, we just jump right around faster. But he's just talking about like your average wait time that you're going to have to wait forever, though. And they're going to end up being close to the same thing.
I could see that. I mean, if you...
Yeah.
Because usually by the time one ferry boat leaves, the next one's coming back in.
Right.
So you don't have too much time.
I think the wait time between ferry boats is probably less than there is between monorails. Maybe.
Yeah. I think so.
But the load time in a ferry boat is definitely a little longer.
Yeah. But then again, the monorail, you know, doesn't hold as many people at one time. So you've got that whole, can you fit on, how many people can you get in there? And then you got to let it depart and then wait for the next one to come through. So,
but of course, the absolute fastest way is the Contemporary.
Yeah, if you can get there these days, a little tougher.
Well, you just stay there, right? That's how it's supposed to work.
Or if you are staying at Grand Floridian and you're, you know, you could walk there too, but it's a longer walk.
Right.
Actually, I should look that up real quick. From the Grand Floridian, what do you call it? Where the path starts, I should say. To the entrance of Magic Kingdom, it is 0.6 miles, so over half a mile walk. And from the Contemporary, from the bus,
it's like probably less than a quarter of a mile, or right at a quarter of a mile.
It's less than half a mile, for sure. Yeah. Even from the bus stop at the Contemporary, it's less than half a mile. So it's a little, it's, you know, not as bad as... It's longer than it looks, though. Really quick, so Tron boarding group, 2 to 3 seconds at 7 a.m., usually before the first one is gone. But the 1 p.m., it says on a busy day, a minute, less than a minute. So it's still much more available than the 7 a.m. On a lighter day, it can be an hour or more, similar to Guardians. So, I don't know.
So I'm going to do a countdown next time I do it. I'm going to be like, wait like 10 seconds after and see what happens.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I guarantee you for the June 28th one, the Tron queue is probably going to be heavily affected.
Yeah. Because I imagine you can't hold two boarding... Well, you probably could.
You probably could, but we're going to go for the Tiana one first.
Right. So if you're able to get Tiana's and then jump over and grab Tron's, Tron will be available longer than 3 seconds, most likely.
That's an interesting scenario, since it's, you can basically, like before, you wouldn't have had the option to go do both, I don't think, right? Or for the longest time, you wouldn't have had the option because you had to have a park reservation.
Right, there were two parks and you could only have a reservation at one, so, you know.
Right.
It wouldn't let you do the 7 a.m.
So the scenario's never come up, really, until now.
Right. So we'll see how they handle it. It'll be interesting to know. The last thing I wanted to mention was this Passholder Foodie Challenge that I got a notification on the Disney app. Oh, the Passholder thing, too. On the 28th through, like, June something, there's going to be extra... What? So it's going to be 20% off select dining, which is a pretty decent amount.
Yeah.
And then there's a few other things, which will just be the tail end of my upcoming trip. So I'm planning... I've already got a Garden Grill booked because that's one of the ones I get 20% off. Mm-hmm. So, which when you think about it, that basically just covers the gratuity. But anyway.
Unless you don't tip.
Well, to wrap up this episode, they list out the... They call it the Passholder Foodie Challenge, but it's just items... That they, it's kind of, I guess it's a challenge of like, can you try all these signature items at different restaurants? I don't know if it's necessarily all signature, but there's certain ones. And I've tried a lot of these. There's a few I haven't, obviously.
But we'll see.
Things like Mickey waffles at Chef Mickey's. That's one of them.
Like that's a challenge.
That's what it says. Mickey. Well, it's not like... But it's, I don't know if it's like, have you tried these or not? The grapefruit cake at Brown Derby?
Nope. Have you?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. There's also a grapefruit martini, which I like, at Brown Derby Lounge. The noodles at Ohana.
Okay.
Which are really good.
tried those.
Shrimp and grits at Tiffin's. I've not had that one yet.
Not at Tiffin's.
Cobb salad at Brown Derby, which is amazing. That's awesome. I usually get it with chicken. I had it. The bread service at Sanaa, which, you know, everyone talks about that.
Uh-huh.
The ooey gooey toffee cake at Liberty Tree Tavern. I have had that as well.
Yep, I have too.
Aunt Liz's fried chicken at 50s Primetime. Yep.
I've had that.
The kitchen sink sundae at Beaches and Cream.
I've not had that.
I thought we didn't try the.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get it. Okay.
What time that we went there, I had the most of the, when I got the same thing I usually get when I get there. It's the No Way Jose.
Okay. I guess not.
You sir, I saw plenty of them get delivered because they sound everything off and everything.
Right.
Yep.
The Falls Family Falafel at Skipper Canteen, which I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah.
Mac and Cheese Bites at Wine Bar George, which I haven't tried that either. Fish and Chips at Rose and Crown.
Who hasn't?
Love that one. It's a great value, too, I think. The Steakhouse 71 Chocolate Cake. I have not had that.
Yeah.
The Peanut Butter and Jelly Milkshake at 50s Primetime. We've definitely had that. I had that the last time I was there. The Pineapple Bread Pudding at Ohana.
Yep.
The Drive-In Barbecue Burger at Sci-Fi Dine-In, which I did have the one
did
time
you?
My kids let me eat there. That's what I ate. Didn't know that was their signature, but it was good.
Okay.
The poutine at Le Cellier. I think I had that at...
Poutine at Le Cellier?
Mm-hmm.
That's their signature?
Well, I that's what the challenge.
Oh, I was about to say. I was like, I wouldn't pick that as their signature. I thought it'd be like the cheddar cheese supers.
I feel like I had that at like Food and Wine or something. I've had poutine at the Wonka, but not at the restaurant. New England Clam Chowder at Coral Reef. Did you try the clam chowder?
Actually, yes, I have, because that was an appetizer, right? So, yeah. I've had.
Okay. Cannoli at Maria and Enzo's. The fried chicken and donuts at Art Smith's Homecoming. Can't remember if I had that. I know I've had the chicken.
Somebody at our table had it, so I technically have had that.
Yeah. Now, this I didn't know was on the menu, but Enchanted Orange Dream at Skipper Canteen. Might have to find out what that is.
Great.
The Moon Rocks at Space 220, which, did we get that?
I've never been there.
It's because it's got, like, is it the one that has the Pop Rocks in it? I'm trying to remember. I have to look that one up again. Spaghetti and Meatballs at Tony's, which I'm trying to remember.
That's the signature?
Well, that's what they, I don't know, if, again, it's on the foodie challenge. I don't know if that's considered.
I want to say I've had that, though, I think.
I'm trying to recall what I ate at Tony's. It was not good.
Well, I think I've only eaten there like twice.
Yeah, I'd have to remember if that's it. The pizza at Via Napoli also, which I kind of want to do that, too.
Should
try to go do the pizza. But yeah, those are the items. I think that's all of them. No, there's a donut and cold brew at Everglaze Donuts. I assume that's Dizzy Springs.
I've never heard of Everglaze Donuts.
Yeah, it must be Dizzy Springs. That's all of them, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them I've done, but then there's a few that I didn't even know were on the menu at these places, so.
Yeah.
Gonna have to try them.
Yeah.
There's Foodie Challenge, so that's pretty cool.
Foodie.
Yeah. Alrighty. I think that's gonna do it.
That's a wrap, folks.
Where can we be found out there?
Well, there is Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel, which I didn't until just recently realize what the at was for that. See if I can remember it now. At TWTM Podcast 8786, I think it was. Anyway, but you can find that there. Or where else can you find it, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. Email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. I guess I should plug that we did on our YouTube channel the Volcana opening. Card opening, we pulled an enchanted card, so valuable card as well. So check that out on our YouTube channel. So for John, my name is Adam, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
And that voice that you hear on the Lorcana episode is Jason.
We spared no expense.